Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, we come back to business stories now, and one in particular that focuses on business rescue. We've covered a wide array of South African companies that have found themselves under immense pressure of late. Think Tongaat Hewlett, which is still undergoing business rescue. The South African Post Office, just to name a few, and even a few players within the automotive industry like AutoZone, which recently came out of business rescue. This is just to name a few companies who themselves have needed to be resuscitated. But we often take for granted that the professionals who work on trying to resuscitate these very same businesses often find their lives at risk. To help us understand what the reality of being a business rescue practitioner or insolvency lawyer is in South Africa, we join on the line by Gareth Creeman from Cox Yates Partner. He's a partner there at that entity and has often joined us to talk about the dynamics regarding business rescue in the country. Gareth, such a pleasure to have you, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Good evening, Gugu, and your listeners.
Always exciting to speak to you, and you've often educated us on the process of business rescue, the activities beforehand and after, the rights of all key stakeholders who might also actively have a stake in the business, and creditors too. But tonight, our conversation hits a little bit closer to home, and I'm hoping this also gives us a sense of appreciation for the individuals, the lives that are behind the key business decisions that are taken as business rescue practitioners. But looking at the most recent headlines, we do see that there's been a number of assassinations and even potential kidnappings of business rescue practitioners. So essentially, how dangerous is this as a job?
Gugu, it's a very good question which you raise. It does depend upon matter to matter specific. It depends upon, you know, the characters that are involved and the companies that are liquidated. And typically, you know, what is involved over there is what the liquidators or business rescue practitioners or turnaround practitioners might uncover. And when they uncover the information, and depending upon the nature, it's what exposes them. And I think to a large extent, you know, the role of an insolvency and a restructuring practitioner is often a misunderstood position. Mm. People see us as typically professionals who step into these failing entities. But what is not widely appreciated is the level of risk that is involved, not an economic risk, but a personal risk. And in South Africa, we've seen this increasing amount of threats, intimidation, you know, threats to lives, threats to families, etc. You know, and in tragic instances, even assassinations or killings, as we've seen, you know, over the past few years, and it's becoming more and more rampant. And the unfortunate part is that, you know, somehow and somewhere as a community as a whole, we are seemingly accepting this as a norm. This is not a norm. It's not something that should be readily accepted by anyone.
It shouldn't at all. And if we do look at the headlines, the concern is that they're rising threats here. I understand that according to reports, between 2022 and 2023, we saw at least 13 assassinations targeting lawyers and insolvency practitioners. Coupled with that, Johan van Niekerk, a well-known lawyer as well, essentially being shot by clients posing as or potential men posing as clients in his boardroom just a few months ago. And I think what's quite clear is that essentially the sensitivity of the companies they work on might expose certain factors that are not only threatening to individuals, but obviously threatening to bigger circles and syndicates that might exist. Is this growing, I guess, in terms of prevalence and prominence in South Africa, the fact that business rescue practitioners are working on heavily sensitive data and information?
The liquidators and business rescue practitioners always work on sensitive information, and they generally uncover, you know, and they've got obligations to do reporting where there is signs of, you know, reportable irregularities, any fraud, corruption, etc. There's obligations imposed on them to, one, conduct an investigation within their powers, and two, to report it to the relevant authorities. And what you're finding is that, you know, through what has happened is that you're effectively silencing the last layer of a watchdog that will catch people out for doing whatever wrong that they have done and for the reporting. And effectively, you will get a position where two things will unfold. Liquidators and business rescue practitioners or anyone involved in the restructuring game would probably have to increase on high-risk matters their security detail around them for the livelihood of them and their family. But it comes at a cost back to the estate. And does the estate have to carry those costs? Mm. You know, so it's not this perfect world where everyone thinks that you're running around. The reality is that it is a serious safety risk, you know, to all of these matters. We've seen what has happened to other whistleblowers in the past, you know, when they've blown the whistle and what happens to them. And it's not only lawyers and liquidators. Remember, it's also judges get threatened, public prosecutors. Prosecutors are also, you know, the victim. We saw that recently now down in the Eastern Cape. So it is a big problem, and it's something which, as a whole, as a country as a whole, we should be tackling this. And I think that, you know, even from a policing perspective, the fact that someone reports and says, I've been threatened by this person, more often than not, the authorities know that those people in the world that they connected in and how you join the dots together, they know that they're a risk. And I'm not certain, you know, as to whether or not you've got adequate resources to deal with these problems, but we're going to have to start tackling and dealing with the elephant in the room.
This might often raise a question around, you know, is it worth it? And there could be some unforeseen consequences there, depending on how practitioners do respond, specifically those who might just choose to leave the industry. So I guess, you know, when you evaluate the environment and perhaps talks around professionals like yourself, is it worth it? And are we actually seeing a flight and bleeding talent in this particular industry?
The difficulty is, you know, you ask the question around, is it worth it? Remember, you always have someone that needs to do the unfortunate position of doing a winding up when a company becomes insolvent. Mm-hmm. You'll always have to have someone that looks after and does a balancing exercise if a company is placed into business rescue, and that's a balancing exercise. But you still need someone over there that keeps the relevant parties accountable. You know, if the directors were involved in fraud and all sorts of corruption, it should be reported, they should be investigated and dealt with. But the problem is that this sends a trend to say to everyone, well, if you're going to do a reporting, don't do a proper job because, you know, you might be in the firing line. It's a massive problem. So you've got to weigh it up. You can't exactly chase the industry away. And the industry still needs to stand together and find a common solution to the problem at hand. Yeah. And it's not one where you want people to start watering down the reports, because if you start watering down an investigation, where do we end up? You know, and that's the difficulty.
100%. I can't ignore the fact that as the TV in studio here is on, myself and my colleagues have been watching the Maganga Commission for the last few weeks and even the parliamentary sittings. And one thing that's highlighted is just the weaknesses that we do have in our judicial as well as our correctional services system. And this further raises the concern around, you know, if we have to paint a best practice picture in South Africa, what would that entail, especially kind of looking at the judicial and criminal justice system in South Africa?
Gugu, I think from that perspective, I think the entire system needs to be re-looked at, and I think you need an overhaul to a large extent. You know, I don't want to be passing too many remarks about the sanctioning of parties that have committed crimes, but to a large extent, you know, a lot of criminals, and you've seen it, and if you speak to the guys and girls, etc., that are involved in the criminal side of life, they will tell you that they often arrest the same perpetrator over and over. They're out on a bail of 2,000 rand. The guy's appeared again. He goes back on bail and he's put back out into the market. To a large extent, we've got to start clamping down on this. And I think, you know, that when these arrests are made, you're going to have to start putting and increasing the bail conditions. You'll also have to start looking at putting a lot of people away and prosecuting them a lot more aggressively.
100%. Graham, well, we certainly hope you continue doing your job and helping us find the bad guys together with many of the other business rescue practitioners that you work with. And then, of course, there's a heightened level of security, respect and appreciation for the work and efforts that you do put into our economy.
Thank you very much, Gugu. All the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you. That's Gareth Creeman joining us from Cox Yates Partners, giving us some insight into the reality of being a business rescue practitioner in South Africa. Now, this comes on the back of headlines regarding the assassinations of at least 13 insolvency practitioners, tax consultants and other professionals who've been assassinated between the year 2022 and 2023. Essentially, these are the guys who follow the money and try to bring truth to power. But because the bad guys realize that they're on them, that's when things do, they decide to take consequences and matters into their own hands. But as has been highlighted, we need the truth to come out. We need clarity, structure, governance and adequate controls, not only in our businesses, but also accountability when it comes to correctional services in the country. Share your thoughts with us. It's 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.